In the introit at the beginning of today's Mass, we pray, cast thy care upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Gospel of the Pharisee and the Publican at Prayer. I used to sometimes associate the Pharisee with a sort of a generic traditional Catholic you could come across in the old days, someone who praised himself quite a bit and pointed out others only to criticize them. But I think probably we've outgrown that over the years, and in any case, as they say, and it's true, everything has changed now. But if you want to find a genuine sort of a card-carrying Pharisee today, you could look for those who self-identify as liberals. For a while, they were using the title of woke, that is to say, they were awakened to the great ultimate sin of Western society, which is supposedly that of racism. Marxist, they, before they were green, you know, earth people, and now they're black, and of course they're red all over. They believe the new doctrines, they're masked duly, and they observe their social distancing, except for riots, of course, because if you're having a riot, well, that's more important than anything else, basically. So that would be all right, and you're not meant to question anything, but rather look to your salvation coming from Bill Gates and his vaccination, or maybe Biden and the gang. The very definition are they, these liberals, of self-righteousness, and they fall over each other to be more politically correct, the one from the other. You see that in committees, you hear that quite a bit about school meetings, for example, and I'm sure other associations also would be stuffed full of those who trust in themselves and who despise everybody else. They wouldn't ever, these politically correct people, think about prayer at all. Of course, the governor will have closed the temple, I suppose, but they wouldn't know anything about prayer. It's remarkable, all of a sudden, the level of religious ignorance on the part of those who want to rule us and be in charge of us, have no idea about our Lord or about the faith or about prayer or any of that. I read early this morning, about a woman who was visiting with an old friend, an old school chum of hers from years ago. And this friend confided to her that, well, usually she went to see an elderly relative of whom she was very fond once a year, but this time she was not making the trip because she said she didn't want to bring her COVID-19. She's 85, you see. Well, her friend asked her, but how many do you know who actually have COVID or who died of it? Doesn't it seem to you there's an air of something phony about all of that? And her only response was to say, I'll just be glad when they get the vaccine and we won't have to worry about it anymore. Worry. Let's talk about that. But what's the connection between worry and the humility our Lord praises on the part of the publican when he goes into the temple to pray? Well, the introit urges us to cast our care upon the Lord. And again, at the offertory verse, the psalmist speaks about trusting God rather than trusting ourselves. You see, trust in God is necessary in order to have humility. Otherwise, in our pride, we think we can take care of ourselves very well, and we might check in with the Almighty from time to time to let him know what we're up to. But that's about the end of it. We must trust in God. God, not government, not media, not masks, but Almighty God. When we pray, we ought to cast our care upon him. But the trouble is that worry has a way of intruding itself upon our thoughts. And sometimes it serves as a terrible drain of energy and a distraction, especially at the time of prayer. Is it a sin if you worry a lot? One might reasonably say so, just as any other bad thought deliberately engaged in would be a sin. However, there are already enough sins. I don't stand with those, even there are clergy like this, who always want to be adding to the list of sins. I think we have quite enough. There are some that maintaining, for example, today that all of the illegal government decrees somehow are binding upon us in conscience. These are, I suppose, the same kind of people that would counsel compliance right to the very end of a communist revolution. In any case, we're not talking about sins when we talk about worry. We're talking about what we call imperfections, bad habits you may have picked up during life that may be even sort of part of your own temperament or upbringing. It's something you can't, it's not deliberate, you can't prevent it, at least not all at once. But of course, as with anything else undesirable, you should be able to work on it a little bit at a time. A bad habit, an imperfection, would be being thoughtless of others, interrupting others in their speech, perhaps, being too careful about your money or too careless about your money. There are many, many imperfections in life, and we have to bear up with each other's imperfections. Worry is one of them. It is imperfect because it implies, it doesn't come right out and say, but it implies an imperfect trust in God. Sort of like we're saying to Almighty God, trust God, but verify, as Reagan used to say about the communists. It damages health, though, worry does, and it might even take away your sleep if you give in to it often enough. And it, because of that, paralyzes your capacity to act. And thus, you can't really be serving God properly because you're all in a state about this fear or worry. It hurts people in different ways. Worry is not looking at the dark side of things, because sometimes you have to do that. It's just realist to do that, so that you can think about them in a practical, logical way. It's this sort of thinking, though, that leads not to action, but just keeps you in a circle, circling around some disturbing thoughts, which it seems you are unable to get away from, and you're left heavy, sad, paralyzed. Oftentimes people worry about the present, but it's mostly about the future, and sometimes about reliving the past. Worry, that's a problem about it. It's not really thinking, it's an emotion that grabs hold of the mind. What is it most of all? It is that deep human instinct of fear, a nameless dread. It clothes itself in thoughts and in arguments, but it's just fear. And that is the secret weapon of all secret weapons, it turns out. That's what they're using against us. And that is how they will get us, when we give in enough to fear. Generally, it is occasioned by some maybe physical weakness, some illness. It could be, in the old days, you would say an addiction. Addiction, say, to alcohol or even to tobacco. But nowadays, you have to say an addiction to the internet, to the media, to cell phone, to constantly checking things in the news and Facebook, and all of those things which leave you drained, enervated, and not at peace. You need to restore a health, what we call today a healthy lifestyle, in order to be able to begin to work on this addiction. The root of the trouble is in the mind and in the soul, in our whole attitude towards Almighty God and to life. So that when the thoughts come to us and oppress us, there has to be some way to restore ourselves to peace and sort out those thoughts. That is our Lord's will for us. Aside from talking about sin, and our Lord talked about sin quite a bit, what was his next, you might say, favorite subject that he would talk to the people about? Why, it was peace. Peace be to you. Peace be to this house. Be of good heart, he would say, and fear not. And when the angels come, of course, because angels are such magnificent, powerful beings, when angels come, the first thing they have to say is, fear not. Even to the Queen of Angels, our Blessed Lady, Gabriel said, fear not, Mary. So heaven sends the message to earth. Imagine heaven, beings of heaven. My goodness. Fear not. After that, does earth provide anything that would make us fear nearly so much? Certainly not. Our Lord's teaching is always, be not solicitous, and it's tied in with the truth of the divine providence. How can we really worry? I mean, ultimately, sit down and think it through. You can't worry if you believe in the divine providence, that we have a Father, and that Father loves us, and he loves us. It's a stretch, but it's true. More than we love ourselves. Does he love us? Is he patient with us? And does he desire our good? And whatever happens, finally, being the father who's not obliged to tell the kids about it, his reasoning process, you will find out one day in eternity, but now you must know that it is from him and for your good. Besides, this life is a transient one. We're passing through. We're not meant to stay, not for long. And so cast your care upon him. Whatever happens, he will sustain you. In practical terms, what do you need to do to be able to work it through? Sometimes, as we would tell children, there's no monster under the bed. You have to turn the light on, and you need to look. You need to examine whatever the monster is that is strangling you. And take it apart one step at a time. Other times, when that's too much, it's too much to even to bear, and you're too tired or too stressed out, even to begin to analyze the thoughts that torture you, what do you need to do? Give it to Jesus. He permits you to have it. Give it back to him. And the wonderful thing is he's quite happy to receive it from you. There was this very holy priest and a miracle worker. He was a friend of Padre Pio. He lived in Naples around the same era. And his name was Don Dolindo. And he pioneered a whole form of prayer and of spirituality called surrender it to Jesus. And he would tell people about their worries and their problems. Give it to our Lord. He's very happy to receive it from you. Only don't hold anything back for yourself. We generally want to say, I trust you, Lord, but let me, just one thing I'm going to see to it. No. You give it all to Jesus, and he will worry about it for you and do it through Mary with Our Lady. That's the humility part. That's the trusting part. The greatest requirement of our spiritual lives, it's not too well known, is that of having confidence in our Lord, to trust him, because that's the mark of love, isn't it? That we trust our Lord because we know that he loves us and we do love him. Our Lord confided to St. Gertrude, remember that, of all of our sins, what hurts him the most is our lack of confidence in him. If we trust him, we'll just give it to him humbly. We understand, I can't do it. We understand, I can't even deal with it, not right now. So I give it to our Lord. Quietly, with a prayer. What kind of a prayer should you make at times like that? This is recommended by the Teresas, Big Saint Teresa of Avila and Little Therese of Lisieux. They both said, when you can't pray, take a common prayer, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and say it very slowly, one word at a time. You will pray well, and your soul will be restored to peace by those beautiful words, a deep breath and a little prayer, and give it away. Cast thy care upon the Lord. God bless you. name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.